Revolutionary.
Let's do it. Welcome to RTG at the movies.
Well, get ready for it.
What happened?
What are you saying? I was just saying the line from the movie.
I thought you were pointing at me to like do it, you know, like to start it off like a sexy
way. No, I was just trying to say
way, so.
Well, anyways, I am a revolutionary, but Rob's a bigger one because he just caught me in between my intern. But you can go ahead, go start.
Okay, so yeah. Welcome everyone to RTG at the movies. Get ready for a spoiler-filled review discussion of Judas and the Black Messiah, an American biographical film about the betrayal of Fred Hampton, a chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panthers in the late 1960s in Chicago. He was betrayed by the hands of William O'Neill. So this movie stars Daniel Get Out Kaluuya and Lakeith, the photographer, Stanfield. Interesting, I used the photographer for the movie. I always remember Lakeith Stanfield as in Atlanta. Man, Atlanta is a good show.
It is a good show with Childish Gambino.
Yeah, totally. So before we get started, this is completely spoiler filled. Shout out to all of our listeners around the world and around the country. Let's do this. I love this movie just off the bat. I didn't love it 110%. I liked it a lot. How you doing, Steph?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I loved it, and I am a revolutionary. It was a really good movie. The whole premise behind it is fantastic. You would never, like, I just love the idea of, even just when I heard the title, the trailer, when you watch the trailer, it is so badass.
Much cooler trailers, than the movie, I have to say, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, look, trailers usually, like, sell you on the movie, and this trailer, just watching, like, Daniel Kaluuya, or however you pronounce his last
Kaluuya.
Name? Kaluuya.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna call him Daniel. Daniel's just performance of the main actor, like Fred, was just amazing. I'm like, wow, I want to join the Black Panthers right now. Sign me up. But they kind of really don't exist anymore, but they do exist.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's I love Daniel Kaluuya's acting choice of like his accent and his preaching mannerisms was really interesting. Yeah, I've never seen him in that. You know, I initially found out about Daniel Kaluuya in a while back in one of the very, very early Black Mirror episodes because he's an English actor. So, you know, Black Mirror was mainly from BBC originally, like the first two seasons. So he came from there and it was like really cool. Like he has a heavy English accent too. So it's like really interesting seeing him. He usually does portray an American character, like with an American accent and everything, but this one was much more like very authentic. And yeah. I just watching it, I was like, really like telling my wife, I was like, dude, like imagine you being like just a native to like England and you have an English accent and it's totally not your world, this whole America and everything and what happened here in this country. And imagine being able to immerse yourself in that and then speak that language and then to have like be able to use your accent to show like dynamic background and like heritage of preacher ideology and things like that. Amazing. Well done. Really well done performance.
Yeah, I can't even do a fake British accent for like 10 seconds. And I'm like, this guy does it for an entire movie. And they plunge themselves into these characters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think the trailer could, you couldn't live up to the trailer. I mean, very few movies do, but it was just, like an overall, I think it's like a like solid 7 out of 10 movie. Like, you know, like you're just, but you kind of, it's sort of like when you meet someone and I would compare it to this. When you meet someone and it just takes off online, when you're like online dating and you're like, you match, you have all these similarities the first and second date. But then literally after the third date, you're sort of like, wait, this is not like, I'm just really not into it. Mm. It's not you, it's me. But it's a really well done shot movie.
Yeah.
I think like the cinematography is fantastic.
What part lost you? What part is the part of the dating analogy you're saying that kind of lost you? For me, it was kind of the third act. got a little bit like, what's going on here? What are we doing? How about for you?
For me, it was just more of like after the first like 30 minutes, because I kind of got the gist of the movie, and I'm all like, well, I mean, the actors do just a fantastic job, but you know what bothers me about it? Because I know this was real life, and the betrayal is real as well. Like everything behind it is based on true events too. I'm sure there's some exaggerations, or just they took some liberties on the movie itself. But when you see like that level of betrayal, like you kind of like, I don't want to watch this movie anymore, because I'm like, why? How could you do this to this person, specifically to like Fred Hampton's character? I'm like, how could you? Because again, like they bring him in, they treat him like family, they give him like every opportunity, and he betrays them from the get-go. Like even before he even knows the person, he prepares to betray this person.
Yeah, he didn't. I think the also the really heartbreaking part is not only does he betray the person, but he betrays his culture, his heritage. He betrays his side. And in this movie, and I think in history has shown like that was the good side, you know. At least I don't know about the Black Panther specifically, because I know they're like pretty extreme, but like the idea of, you know, equality, at least the idea of you know, if you, especially if you're African-American, but you know, to defend what you feel is like a sense of oppression, and that's the reality of it, that was especially in 1960s, and many including me would argue right now. So like to see him betray that as well, his people, his kind, I imagine that's why the title is so like on point, Judas, you know, like Judas did to Jesus. So it's really interesting.
I mean, again, the acting that's been done by, like, I forget the other gentleman's name.
Keith Stanfield?
Lakeith,
yeah.
Lakeith. Well, Lakeith is a great actor. Like, every moment that he portrayed his character, even from the moment you see him in, like, the FBI or police station, he's, like, shivering and shaking. He's, like, he has no idea what's going on. He portrays his, like, the role, like, perfectly. He is a person of his environment. Yeah. And sometimes you can't blame that person, because this is all I've known. Because they've seen people come and go. And he, at the end of the story, like, you kind of find out that he makes about $200K. And $200K is a lot of money back in the, like, 60s and 70s. You can essentially, like, have a great life.
Yeah.
But I think just the movie, like everybody that was selected was fantastic for the roles. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more of the sense of like, I lost my sense of like continuing, because I knew the betrayal was going to come. I wish like that it was titled something else, even though as badass as it sounds, because you know, there's just a huge betrayal. I feel like there would have been like a mystery. I wish they never showed that he is the person that betrays him. That would be a very interesting aspect if they kind of like recut the movie and did it in different ways. Or you find out later on, like halfway in the movie.
That'd be really interesting. It's one of those few instances, I can't imagine, I can't think of many others that the title of the movie is a spoiler. Another one I can remember that's actually very similar is one of my favorite movies, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. A very long title. But the title basically spoils the entire movie. Similar case in that. That one's more of like a slow burner, really slow burner and artistic kind of film. This one, I feel like, you know, I was hearing talk of it being like the Goodfellas, but for like the African American kind of side. I didn't catch that. I felt there was a lot of weakness in this film, and most of it was on behalf of the writing itself and the blocking. I feel like the movie.
What's blocking, by the way? I don't know what blocking means.
Like blocking means like when you like it's kind of like you use blocking to pace the movie, right? So you have like the three act structure, and you're like, okay, this is gonna happen here, and then this is gonna, it's like a cause and effect, and that's gonna happen. And sometimes if you don't block it and you don't do the kind of like the structure of the film properly, the pace of the movie goes off. So you'll have some instances where you feel like a rush and there's something going on, and then that'll instantly be cut by a slow scene, you know, and that's usually done post-processing and editing. And if you have a really good editor, you can kind of do it in a way where the pacing works out. This movie, the pacing is very strange. There's nothing I can specifically put my finger on, but I feel like there were many moments I felt some sort of rush that I imagined the filmmaker was trying to make me feel like when shooting that scene, and it'll instantly be cut to something that kind of killed that, you know, a buzz kill for the prior scene. Whereas, like, if you use an example of like a Scorsese movie, even in boring, quote unquote, boring scenes where it's like in a bar and people are like all getting together and talking and it's not really action based, Scorsese knows that he needs to have like the specific tone and pacing of the film. So he'll shoot that scene with camera in one take and moving fast through the scene, right? So it's cutting through people. It's still shot as if it's an action scene, but it's a boring scene. In this case, it wasn't like that. It seemed like they were just shooting specific scenes that some had action, some didn't. When they put it all together, the pacing was really off. That with the writing really made me feel like, oh man, you almost had it, guys. Like, you almost had it at a park and you almost got us like pulled in and interested, and you kind of lost your way. That's why for me, that all built up to the third act, which was kind of like a bit on the dull side. And the decision to make it like a talking head kind of thing with Lakeith Stanfield throughout narrating was also a poor one. I don't think it added to anything. And I think it kind of made it a little bit comedic. He looked funny, you know? He had a mustache on and it didn't hold the weight of the film. I think they should have taken the interview scenes.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think they tried to make it like, hey, this is a real person, you know?
Yeah.
And it just really did happen. But I think we're both in agreement that if we're like, I don't know if it's whether it's the director or the writer, I don't know a lot of their work. But they just had a great concept, great two leads. Like, when you look at both of them, they're very, like, opposites, you know? Like, even when you look at Daniel, like, you look at him, you feel like he would be the cool guy at school. So would Lakeith. If you saw Lakeith, too, I feel like you'd follow them. So yeah. It just discouraged me, like, a lot when I just watched the movie. And just sort of, like, it's a waste of potential to a degree. But like, they did try their best. I don't know if this was shot during the pandemic or in the midst of the pandemic. I don't know much behind it. I know there was a lot of hype going into it, but just like the majority of the movies that we watched and seen during the pandemic that have been released through HBO and HBO Max and Netflix, they have not been good. Like, which one was like the best one we saw? Probably Soul. Soul was probably the best one we saw.
I mean, not counting, which wasn't released in the pandemic, so we can't count that, but Dr. Sleep was my favorite one out of But Soul, yeah, Soul was during the pandemic times, and that was the best, and that was animated. You know why I think it was best? Because it was animated, and you don't really need to be, like, the pandemic doesn't really affect that. You get that it?
Thing.
Yeah, but the other ones, the pandemic might have affected it, or there's something up with it, like, you know. There's still a lot of post-processing people have to do in editing. So maybe that messed with it too.
I've watched a version of the movie Passenger that stars Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Everyone hates that movie. I love that movie.
You've seen the movie, right? So spoilers to whoever hasn't seen it. Chris Pratt wakes up on a ship that everybody's supposed to be in hibernation for like, I don't know, like 100 years. So he doesn't want to be alone because everyone's asleep. So he finds Jennifer Lawrence and wakes her up.
Yeah.
But there's a version that has been re-edited that you see that like Chris Pratt wakes up and so does Jennifer Lawrence. And neither one of them knows why. So they made it more of a mystery instead of like from the beginning, you know, that Chris Pratt woke her up.
Oh, really? Is this like a director's cut kind of thing?
No, it's like a fan-made version of it. Somebody put it on YouTube and I watched that version. I'm like, wow. This is so much better. Like, there's a suspense. Yeah. Because from the moment that Chris Pratt does that in the movie, you kind of hate his guts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people hated that movie. I don't know why. It's one of those situations where I really liked it. You know, I love that idea. I think the idea and like, you know, I love sci-fi, obviously. So, like, I was really biased towards that movie. I, like, really loved it. I love the idea and the concept of, like,
yeah, me too.
I think so. And I love Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, and I love places that people hang out in that are trapped in. You know, those are fun movies usually. But yeah, I think you're right. That would be an interesting take to see what happens if you can cut this film. So it looks like you don't know Lakeith Stanfield is betraying him. It's just off the bat, the way the movie's made too, and I agree with you, off the bat, you already know Lakeith Stanfield is kind of like a piece of shit and betrays his own kind when he steals that car and he acts like he's FBI. So off the bat, he's an imposter, right? And that's supposed to be like like when they do in writing, they foreshadow. It's like a foreshadowing echo that goes throughout the entire film. Well done writing-wise and theoretically, but on actually watching it in real situation, it just seems strange. Like I wanted Lakeith Stanfield to actually be a cop, you know?
Yeah, what I was thinking in my head, that he gets arrested. I thought a better take would be like he gets arrested and then they just kind of let him go. And then later on, like, he pretty much comes to them and be like, look, man, I've been thinking about it. Like, how much could I really get paid? Like, somewhere between like the first and second act of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he goes on his own will. Like, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to betray this dude, you know? And that guy and the FBI agent kind of cultivates them as like what's it called, an informant later on. Like, he kind of romances him. I wish there was more of a, even though you kind of see it being romantic, him taking him out to dinner and coming into his house, I wish he did that later on. Like, I wish he developed as a snitch later on.
Yeah, that would have been very interesting. And you know, like, honestly, I loved
the FBI agent.
Yeah, the FBI agent, the guy that plays in Breaking Bad, what was his name?
I have no idea.
Something Simmons, Jason Simmons or something like that. He was unbelievably amazing. I think they all did an amazing performance. He was really good. Man, that scene gave me chills when he goes into that FBI room, the room with the FBI director and stuff. And the FBI director straight up asks him, like, oh, you have a kid? And he goes, yeah, I have a daughter. And he's like, would you let your daughter bring home, yeah, what would you do if your daughter brought home a black person? Like, the way he pauses, like, he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't know how to answer it. I feel like for me, and I don't know if this was the filmmaker's intention, I feel like for me, he wanted to answer, like, what the hell does it matter? You know, like, what's wrong with you? Why are you like this? But he knew he couldn't. So he had to just say, like, she'll never bring that home. That won't happen. You know, the most like vaguest way of saying, not like trying to fall in line, mm-hmm, with the status quo, but also not be a piece of shit racist. You know, it's just really, that was a powerful moment. That's the weird part about this movie. If you look at this movie in specific scenes, there are some intense, powerful moments.
Yep.
Some moments where you're like, wow, dude, this is bone chilling, especially now in this climate, especially now where you're like, Jesus, like all these problems. There's so many quotes that could literally and unfortunately apply to right now, that you're like, wow. So, but when you put all, sorry, when you put all those scenes together, they just don't make that great of a movie. I think that's why the trailer was so good.
Yeah. Because
able to cut it, you know, but as a movie, a whole, it's like, I wouldn't give it like a 6 out of 10, but you're right. Like a 7, I would give it probably a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because you can tell people really put their hearts and soul. They did a great job. It's hard when you can't root for, like if there's like a Malcolm X movie or an, yeah, Abraham Lincoln movie or someone that's just like trying to be on the right side of history, and yet there are elements that are going completely against them. And what's really present is the human element. How, regardless of like, hey, we're all in this struggle together, like,
yeah,
the financial need, like, you will betray everyone because of your financial needs. That's, yeah, the terrifying thing, that you know that you would be betrayed by the people that have fed you, gave you a purpose, shelter, love, yeah, family. But for money, you would sell them out in a second. And, yeah, it's the sad part is sometimes it's not even that much. Even though $200,000 collectively for 10 years is a lot of money in the 60s and 70s, oh, yeah, but when you really think about it, it's not that much.
not to betray your race or your culture.
It's not even, it's just, it's not even, we're not even, I don't even think of it that way. It's just more of the sense of like how easily you're bought from anybody, you know? It could be for anything. Everybody kind of betrays everybody to a degree. Just wait for your downfall, Robert.
Jesus Christ. Get your Dogecoins.
You thought all that Dogecoin wallet you had was secure? You thought your Google what's it, authenticator was not hackable? Guess what? I got all of them.
Cryptojack me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Cryptojack.
Give it up. Put up your cryptos. So another movie that was disappointing that was during the pandemic too that has very some it's kind of similar to this one was that One Night in Miami one.
I saw it too. I watched it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's like you have people that are doing their portrayals of those characters individually fantastic or their stories together, but it just really did not click. I watched both of those movies and I knew that like they came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's not. And you want to cheer for it, but it's just not a good, it's just not done well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like those like any kind of like basically any topic that or anything like that, and like you know, the basically someone trying to overcome that and things like that. I love those movies. I'm a big fan of those, and honestly, rarely are they not done right, to tell you the truth. And it's just surprising that these two were kind of not done that right, you know. And like you said, individually they seemed very interesting. Even conceptually, they sounded badass. The One Night in Miami, for example, amazing. All four of those people, historical individuals in one night. You would think the main emphasis of that movie would be to discuss like basically the ethics of America. They did that for 10 minutes on a like a rooftop, and then the rest was some weird ass shit they were talking
like
about.
It's all reflecting on their personal lives, and we know a lot of those characters, and those things can be put into the story so easily. Like you can have like the football player, you can have the baseball player, you can have the musician, Malcolm X, everybody sort of like give like it, a background of them doing something to get you caught up or like looking at something or like having a flashback. But unfortunately that does not happen, and both movies don't pay off. And my question is it because of the production team? Is it because of the writing? If this wasn't during the pandemic, would they have a better opportunity to get a better product? Because I don't know.
I think it was poor writing. I think it was poor writing and basically mainly poor writing. You know, it's like what you said right there earlier is a concept in screenwriting called show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what you do is you want to show it on anything. So you want to write as little as possible, actually. What you want to do is like, that's why you have scripts. You'll write a script and then you'll have, it's called, basically they're called script doctors that come in and they just dissect everything off the script and they throw away everything that's extra, right? Because everything that you're writing that's extra, like you don't want to write like, oh yeah, then he lifts up the cup and he grabs, or like narration like that. Like just show it, don't tell.
When yeah, actions it,
much more
out like, of the words.
Exactly. So like, you know, one big like violator of this kind of rule, unwritten rule, is Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan sucks at that. Like he has amazing visuals and everything like that, but when it comes to character development, he literally has their characters literally say their development. Oh, you had trouble with your wife had cancer, so you quit your job. Like, why are you, God, that's so bad. So yeah, show don't tell. This movie has a lot of that too. They say a lot instead of like showing it, but honestly it has a lot of amazing visuals too. So it's just a bunch of like shit that happened incorrectly. I blame it on the writing.
Blame it on the writing. But what I'll give them credit for is the aesthetics, the cinematography, the way it was shot, the visuals, like everything just looked cool, from people driving their cars.
Oh, cool.
Like even just the opening scene where he just goes into and just tries to steal everyone's cars. Did you find like really scary and fucked with your mind? Remember that scene where Lakeith was in the bar and there's a pimp inside and he like tries to say, hey, like give this cocaine or whatever to so-and-so or whatever it is. Yeah. And for some reason he follows him out. He's like, are you an FBI agent? Are you following me?
Yeah.
And then he gives him his thing, his old original like fake FBI badge that he was using. And that part really fucked with me. I still don't get it. Like, did the FBI tell him to do that or something like that? What did you think of that?
I didn't think the FBI told him to do that. I thought it was just a coincidence.
That's crazy, huh?
Weird scene, though, if you think about that. Yeah.
I don't know. That's what fucked with me. I'm like, did the FBI plant this pimp to give him this to show, like, hey, we're watching you? Or was it a coincidence? That was the part of the movie that just fucking really... There's a few parts that blew my mind. That was one scene, and every time that Fred Hampton gave a speech, like, it just gave me chills. He's just, yeah, like, a great dialogue person.
So good. The way he... You know, I have, like, a complaint and also a praise at the same time.
Yeah.
My complaint is, like, a selfish part of me is, like, I want you to speak a little clearer, you know, because I want to understand you a little more. I couldn't understand him too well. Like, not completely not, but I could, like, I was missing a few words. But the praising part was that I love how he just didn't care. Like, that's how a real person would speak, you know? Like, he just didn't, he's not acting. He's not acting like, oh yeah, let me say this because the audience might need to hear my dialogue. He's like, fuck that. This is my character. And if you feel like I'm mumbling here and there, if you feel like my accent's heavy here and there, well, that's how it is in real life. You know, hopefully my general demeanor and my performance will override that, like, lack of understanding literal context. And I think he did a great job. That's insane. Like, to hear him, like, kind of, he slurred a couple times through some stuff, you know, like, and you just think he was so, like, slippery almost the way he spoke, but yet, like, a preacher. Very good. Every time he spoke, I was like, 100% I'm on board, buddy. You did it, Daniel Kaluuya. Hell yeah. That's why you're going to be in, like, the next fucking thing. Jordan Peele movie, you know, again.
Really?
Signed on to get onto the next one. Yes, that's really cool. Yeah. I think, what else, you have anything else to say on that, or what
you feeling? I don't, but I would tell people, look, honestly, it's, if you got nothing to watch, watch something better that's old than this, my opinion. Like, I would not tell someone, hey, you go out and watch this movie. Just watch the trailer. It'll get you much more pumped up.
So you're not recommending to watch it? I'm recommending to watch it. I think watch it because it's worth the individual scenes. I do think you will not be blown away, for sure. You won't be blown away. But you'll end going, that was cool. You know, it's a side. If you want to watch a movie that takes place in the 60s about, like, you know, segregation and, like, just the African American experience in such a raw way, then you got to go watch Detroit.
You gotta, oh, I've go not seen
Detroit.
That.
2017 Detroit. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. Amazing. That will give you chills. That will give you motivated. That the pacing of that movie is insane. It's beautiful. The acting is top notch. Everything's amazing. So Detroit, 2017, I think it came out. I think it's a Catherine Bigelow movie.
I have no idea, but ladies and gentlemen, go to Detroit. Not this movie.
Don't go to Detroit. It's not that good of a place. But watch the movie. Peace out, everyone.